We open the Holy Scriptures to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Our scripture reading is the last section of the epistle, the concluding exhortations of the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. We begin our reading at verse 12 of chapter 5 and read to the end of the chapter. The verse which I call your attention to this evening is verse 18, which will be our text. Let us together read the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole soul, or your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Once again, our text is verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a striking text that is before us tonight, is it not? All of these exhortations in this last portion of 1 Thessalonians 5 are striking. They're striking because of how short and potent they are. They come with force as the apostle goes from one exhortation to another, and you sense his passion. These exhortations are delivered by the apostle Paul out of love for the Thessalonian congregation, out of a desire to see them grow in grace and flourish in the faith of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's one of those exhortations that we consider tonight. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. An exhortation that has really limitless application because of its scope. An exhortation that applies to every area and every dimension of our human lives in this world. The sermon tonight, I first preached in Holland Church on Thanksgiving Day. It's appropriate for Thanksgiving this year, given all of the things that, in the Lord's providence, we've gone through. It's been an unusual year, and how important the reminder was then to give thanks, and all the reasons we have to give thanks. But a sermon such as this and a text like this isn't only fitting for Thanksgiving Day, because we all know well Thanksgiving isn't reserved just for one day. Thanksgiving is the Christian life. The Christian life is one lifelong doxology of thanks and praise to God for the glorious salvation He has given us in Jesus Christ. Thus, this text applies as well to us today as it did Thanksgiving Day. It's a text we do well to rehearse in our minds often. This is the will of God concerning us as His redeemed people in the midst of this world, in every life situation, in every circumstance, whoever we are, wherever we are, no matter what we're going through, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. So we want to look at that tonight. What does that mean? What does that look like in our lives? It's appropriate, too, as we come away from the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, which is visual gospel. This morning, when we partook of the supper, we saw with the eyes the gospel that is preached. We saw that same gospel with our eyes. We saw in the visible sign and seal of the bread and wine, the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, there pictured for us the work of our Savior on the cross of Calvary, which has obtained for us the forgiveness of all of our sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation. We beheld the heart of the gospel, and we came by faith, and we took that bread and wine, and we ate and we drank that bread and wine, and we were nourished and fed in our bodies, but also in our souls as we partook by faith and received that means of grace. Now for our applicatory service, we face the question, how do we go forward from the table? What is the proper response to the gospel pictured in that sacrament? Thanksgiving. Going forth with joyful hearts, full of thankfulness for what Jesus has done for us and for what God our Father does for us each day. Thankfulness for the glorious salvation He has given us. Thankfulness for all that He has given us. Thankfulness in everything. So let's tonight together consider this text under the theme, in everything give thanks. Notice in the first place what it is to give thanks and what we give thanks for. Secondly, when. The text has an important word for us about when we give thanks. And finally, why. What is the reason the text sets before us to give thanks? The text that is before us is a command. In everything give thanks. To whom? The text doesn't say because it doesn't need to say. It's obvious to God. He is the one worthy of all thanks. That goes without saying. We are to give thanks to God. Now, what does it mean really to give thanks? To give thanks means to give joyful praise and heartfelt appreciation to God for His goodness and generosity towards you. To give joyful praise and heartfelt appreciation to God for His goodness. Thanksgiving is offering the sacrifice of praise to God for His goodness. That comes out in the call to worship that we heard at the very beginning of our service. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And you understand Hebrew parallelism here, that those two statements are parallel. Thanksgiving and praise go together. Thanksgiving is given by praising God. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. How do we show thankfulness to God? By blessing His name. Thanksgiving is praising and blessing God's name on account of His goodness towards us. Thanksgiving means that we acknowledge the goodness of God. Acknowledging what Jesus taught the rich young ruler in Mark 10, verse 18. There is none good but one, that is God. God who is good and the overflowing fountain of all goodness. And when we acknowledge that God is good and the fountain of all goodness, we then acknowledge that every good thing that comes into our possession, every good that we experience, is a gift from the only good God. Thus James 1 verse 17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 charges the rich in the world not to trust in their riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Giving thanks is acknowledging personally God's goodness towards you, acknowledging it and then praising Him for it and expressing your heartfelt appreciation to Him for the good He has given you. The thankful Christian has a heart that is swollen with gratitude. And gratitude is not something that likes to stay put in that swollen heart. Gratitude must burst out of the swollen heart. And it is the believer's joy, then, to praise his God and render unto him grateful returns of ardent love. That's what it is to give thanks. Let's look at that concretely. Thanksgiving has content. For what do we give thanks? And how good it is for us as God's people often to rehearse the many reasons we have to be thankful and to let our hearts and minds linger upon the good that God gives us, for how prone we are by nature to let our hearts and minds linger on what we call bad or the things that we don't like in this life or the hardships and we become downcast, but let our hearts and minds linger on the good, the goodness of God and all of His good gifts to us. Ranking first, of course, are those spiritual graces of the ascended Christ, which He pours out upon us from His throne at God's right hand, the spiritual blessings of salvation bestowed upon us through the operation of the Holy Spirit. These are the best of God's good and perfect gifts. These are the riches, or the richest of the riches that He gives us to enjoy. The forgiveness of all of your sins. Ponder what that means for a moment. What was testified to you at the Lord's table this morning, that the Son of God came down from heaven, assumed our flesh, that in our flesh He might take upon Himself the guilt of all of your sins in mine, and bear that guilt all the way to the cross, whereon He suffered the full penalty for your sins in mine. Endured hell in all of its fury, experienced what it was to be forsaken of God, that you would never experience that. So that God would declare now to you, for the sake of Christ His Son, your sins are forgiven. I wipe them away. You are not guilty in my sight. In fact, I declare you righteous. I impute to you the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are justified for the sake of Christ, my Son. Think of all of that means. What good, what greater good could ever be thought of? There is no greater good. And the gift of faith kindled in your heart and mine by the Holy Spirit, that gift of faith whereby we embrace these truths of God, this gift of faith whereby we embrace Christ, our righteousness, and enjoy the blessings that He has obtained for us, faith, a most precious gift. Our connection to Christ, the freedom that is ours in Christ, freedom from the power and dominion of sin, freedom in the Spirit, freedom to be servants of righteousness, the fruits of the Spirit sown in our hearts by the Spirit of Christ. All of these blessings of salvation and how we could go on enumerating them. Are these not a reason for abundant thankfulness? The Christian says yes, and his or her swollen heart bursts forth with praise to the God of his salvation. But then there's all of the earthly goods and material blessings that God gives us to serve our well-being in this world where He has called us to live. He is a Father who saves our souls, yes, but also cares for our bodies. Think also upon all of the bounties of God's providence which He richly bestows upon us each day, which are so abundant and commonplace that we almost become blind to them. So easily we take them for granted. Our daily bread. Bread that strengthens the heart. Food enough for us and our families. It comes from the very hand of God. Give thanks for His bounty. But not only our daily bread, but the oil that makes the face of man to shine, the wine that makes glad his heart. Give thanks. The water that He sends from His chambers to moisten and nourish the ground, to bring forth the crops in the growing season, the sun that He causes to shine. All of these natural gifts that He gives to His people. Give thanks. Now, as we head into the winter months, the warm walls and roof that are around us, the shelter that we have, it's a gift of God. The job we have, the income we receive, all of these things are gifts of God. What's our response? Is it joyful praise to the good giver, That is what it should be. That's the calling of the text. Give thanks. But now let's narrow in even more. We've seen what thanksgiving is in the abstract. It's praising God and showing Him our appreciation for His goodness. We've seen all the reasons we have to be thankful. Now, concretely, how do we go about showing our thankfulness to God? How do we obey this command of the text? The Bible has so much to say about showing God our thankfulness, doesn't it? Here our Heidelberg Catechism helps us out. Think of the third section of the Catechism. How we are to show our gratitude to God for our deliverance. And the third section of the Catechism is divided into two main parts. The two main parts of the Christian's gratitude. Obedience to the law and prayer. There in the third section, the Catechism treats the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. And what the Catechism is doing there is it's drawing together the whole teaching of Scripture on thankfulness and setting before us in a summary form how the believer shows his gratitude to God. Obey and pray. Obedience to God and a life of prayer in the service of God. So let's look at those two things now. How do we show our thanks to God? First, prayer. We begin here because, as the Catechism says, prayer is what? The chief part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. It's really quite simple. Almost too simple sometimes for us. How do you thank God for His goodness to you? You pray to Him. And how do you pray to Him? You put your thanks into words, and you tell Him that you are thankful. God made us to speak. God is the speaking God, is He not? We find God in the very opening verses of Genesis speaking. By His word, He called all things into existence by the word of His power. He's a God who speaks, and He created His people. He created man in a special way to be a speaking creature. And that's intentional. God gave us the power of speech so that we could talk to Him, communicate with Him. And it's through speaking with God that we enjoy fellowship with God. He speaks to us in His Word, and we respond to His speech by speaking back to Him. Prayer, song, praise. So how do we thank God? How do we praise Him and express our heartfelt appreciation for His goodness to us? We pray. We tell Him how thankful we are. We pour out our heart before His throne of grace. We express gratitude to Him. And God delights in that. That's what prayer is meant to be. It's covenant communication and covenant communion with our God. It's faith speaking to God. Faith unfolding the heart of the child of God to the Father. Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. So how do we thank God? We pray and tell Him we are thankful. This, of course, requires us to think about those things that we are thankful for. The Christian who is truly thankful tells God the things he is thankful for. It's easy when we are thoughtless to let our prayers become rather robotic. How easily that happens. Thank thee, Lord, for your many blessings. And it can become a stock phrase that doesn't have a lot of actual content, and we must beware of that. To illustrate, we've all probably gotten one of those mass-produced thank you letters in the mail, right? Some very large company sends out a whole bunch of thank you letters to their customers. We couldn't be the company we are without you. Thank you for your support. And what do you do with that? You don't put it on the fridge. You usually throw it away. Because there's no heart in it. You know that that's one of 1,000 that were run off the printer and sent to everyone on the mailing list. It doesn't have much meaning. Well, sometimes our thanksgiving to God can kind of be like that, can't it? We know we have to do it. So we just say the words to get done with it and move on. And that's not the thanksgiving that brings glory to God. The thanksgiving that brings glory to God is when it arises from the heart, when we speak these words by faith and we pour out our heart in gratitude to God. That's the prayer that this text calls us to. In everything, give thanks. But also, public prayers. We give thanks to God not only in our private prayers, but also public prayers. That is, here, church. The public worship of the church. The public worship of the church is the body of Christ coming together to offer a collective sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. The Word of God calls us to thank God publicly in the worship of the church. That goes back to our call to worship. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. God calls us to come to church. He doesn't say just enter into any gates. He says enter into My gates and in My courts be thankful. In My courts bless My name. An important part of our thanksgiving is diligently frequenting the church of God. And not just being here to warm a pew, not just being here because we know someone's going to notice if we're gone, but being here because we want to be here, because we want to thank God for what He's done for us. The heart again. Here, because our heart is swollen with gratitude and it has to burst. It has to burst forth with that thankful praise. That also means we don't really want to be here. Not that interested in church and public prayers. That's a symptom of thanklessness. Prayerlessness is a symptom of thanklessness. And prayerlessness goes on to stifle thankfulness. And so if we feel that in our hearts, our calling is to seek the forgiveness of God and call upon Him to work in our hearts to rekindle our thankfulness. And we all need that once in a while, don't we? Because we sinful creatures are so short-sighted, forgetful. We take things for granted. Our sinful flesh rises up against us here, does it not? How often we need to turn to God and ask His forgiveness. Then we remember the words of Psalm 103 that we sang earlier in the service. Our kind and compassionate God forgives and He forgives and He forgives. Over and over again, for the sake of Christ and His passion on the cross, pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. So when we go to God, we confess our frequent thanklessness or our heartless thankfulness. We go confident of His forgiving mercy. And He will rekindle in our hearts that thankfulness. When you look to the cross of Christ, how can you not be thankful? Prayer. That's the first concrete part of how we show our thankfulness to God. But there's also obedience. Secondly, we give thanks to God by obeying His Word, His law. The Ten Commandments, as they function in the Christian life, are a God-given guide to gratitude. The law reveals God's will for us, how we are to live, the kind of life that is pleasing in His sight. Obedience to the Ten Commandments and the Word of God is the shape that thanksgiving takes. What does thanksgiving in action look like? It looks like obedience. Obedience to God's Word. That's thanksgiving in action. We are to thank God not only with our lips, not only with our prayers. That is so very important, yes. But we are to thank God also with our actions in very deed. If we don't, our prayers and our words easily become lip service. Prayer and obedience, word and deed, both are how we thank God for His goodness. So, particularly now with respect to the good gifts that God has given us and bestowed upon us, how do we give thanks to God for them? By obeying God in the way we use them. Or to put it another way, we give God thanks for His good gifts by using them only as He directs in His Word and directing them to the one goal of God's own glory. We often need to be reminded of that too, don't we? Especially when it comes to our earthly things that God gives us. Giving thanks to God is not this. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts. Now they're mine. And I get to do with them as I see fit. And nobody better tell me otherwise. Human nature likes to think that way, but here's where divine gift giving differs from our human gift giving. You see, when God gives you something, it's still His. Everything God gives to you and to me doesn't become ours. He entrusts it to our stewardship, and now our calling is to obey Him in how we use it, to look to His Word, to govern and direct us in how we use and enjoy that good gift. And that's how we show thankfulness to God, by obeying His Word in the way we use His things. An example. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 and 18. We referred to verse 17 earlier, but let's look at it again. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 and 18. Here the Apostle Paul tells Timothy how to exhort the rich in his congregation. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You see what Paul is saying there. Timothy, charge the wealthy members of your congregation that they use the wealth God has given them to do good. That they not squander it, but that they be conscientious in the use of that wealth for the building of God's kingdom, for the edification of the church. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, willing to distribute, ready to communicate, generous. And so the application grows from there. It's not just about our use of money, but our use of every good thing that God gives us. His Word directs us as to how we are to use it. And if we are thankful for God's gifts, we will seek to use them how He tells us, not as we might want to use them. Thankfulness shows itself in obedience to God's Word. So that finishes the what of our text. We've seen what thankfulness is. We've seen our reasons why we are to be thankful. We've seen two very concrete ways that we show thankfulness: prayer and obedience. But now, we come to the most challenging part of the text, don't we? The text which we would naturally respond impossible when we hear what it has to say. When does God require that you and I give Him thanks? And the answer is the first words of the text. And these words are first for a reason. They're first because they occupy the place of emphasis. Paul wants us really to understand this point. In everything give thanks. There's the when. When? In everything. In every time. Always. All the time. In all things. In everything give thanks. Now, lest we misunderstand what this means, and our misunderstanding lay upon us a crushing burden that the text is not intended to lay upon us, we must look very carefully at the language of the text so that we understand what it is not saying as well as what it is saying. First, let's look at those two words, everything. Everything here means every life situation, every life circumstance, every life event, every happening, every experience that you go through in your lifetime in this world. It's all encompassing. Everything that takes place and happens to you in this world is included here in the text, in everything. Going back to our catechism for help, we find in Lord's Day 10 several examples. Rain, drought, fruitful and barren years, plenty and scarcity, health and sickness, riches and poverty. There is a sample of the vast array of life situations and circumstances the child of God may find himself or herself in during the course of his or her life. In everything, give thanks. Some of these things we would say, yeah, I can see myself readily giving thanks for that. Fruitful years, plenty, health, riches. Though we know very well that in prosperity we're often prone to forget to be thankful. It's not as if when we're in prosperity, thankfulness comes easily. Oh no. The danger then is that we forget, we take things for granted, or we even develop a mentality of entitlement. So the calling of the text is also to be watchful in times of prosperity, that we make sure we are thankful to God. But then there's those other things. Drought, barren years, scarcity, sickness, COVID-19, poverty, and whatever other ugly, bad, undesirable things we might add to the list. The text tells us we are to give thanks in everything. And now we want to understand very carefully what that word "in" teaches us. We've seen what everything is. Now let us see what it means to give thanks in every life situation, every life circumstance. The idea of the text is not that the child of God must give thanks and rejoice in evil in and of itself. The idea of the text is not to erase the distinction between that which is good and that which is evil and teach us there's really no difference, so you react the exact same way to both. That may sound super spiritual, but it lays upon the child of God a crushing burden that no one can bear. To illustrate, think of a couple real-life examples. The Christian wife who just came out of the doctor's office because her husband has been diagnosed with a terminal disease. What's her calling? Is her calling to celebrate that diagnosis? To say, I delight in that diagnosis in and of itself? Of course not. The parents in the church who have a wayward child, is the text calling them to say, I delight in the waywardness of my child. I give thanks that my child is wayward. I'm glad for it. It's a wonderful thing. Absolutely not. That's not what the text is teaching us. The text is not telling us that we must delight and rejoice in those evil things in and of themselves. Rather, the text says, in everything. And the idea of the word in here is in connection with everything, in the midst of everything, in the midst of every life situation and circumstance, give thanks to God. That which you are thankful for is not the evil thing in itself, but the good that God is working through that trial that He has given you. Give thanks to God in the midst of every life circumstance, in connection with every life event. Philippians 4, verse 11 expresses this idea. There the Apostle Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In whatsoever state, in everything. He goes on to describe hunger. He goes on to describe poverty. He's not saying, I love going hungry. I delight in poverty in and of itself. He's saying, no, in all of these circumstances, I have learned to be content because by faith, I look past these things to the God who is sovereign and good, the sovereign God who is in control of my life and all my circumstances and who is working them for my good. And my thankfulness is to God for the goodness that He is working through everything. When God gives us an adversity, we give Him thanks for the good that He is working through that adversity. When God sovereignly brings evil into our lives, our calling is to thank Him in the midst of it, in connection with that adversity, by acknowledging His goodness even in the sending of this evil into our lives, and acknowledging His sovereignty and His wisdom in the way that He accomplishes His good purpose, even in ways that exceed our human abilities to understand. So, to make it clear, let's go back to a couple of those illustrations. That Christian wife who's just come out of the doctor's office, she doesn't say, "I am so thankful my husband has cancer." Nor does the text require that of her. But what the text does require is that she come forth from the doctor's office and say, in her heart, because she might not be ready to say this in the moment, nor does she do these words have to be the first out of her mouth, "I'm thankful to God, who I know and trust is working even this for my good. I can't see it right now, but I'm thankful for His goodness to me even in this. I'm thankful for His mercies which are new for me every morning. I'm thankful for the promise of salvation and life everlasting in Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that God gives me the grace I need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with my husband. I am thankful to God for His goodness. And therefore, I am not bitter. I'm not discontent. I'm not angry with God in the midst of this affliction. I give thanks, even in this." The parents of the wayward child, their calling isn't to stop grieving the waywardness of their child. No, they earnestly pray that the Lord will bring their child back, prick their heart, give them no rest until they return and find their rest in the Church of Christ. But even as those parents earnestly make those petitions, they also give thanks in everything. They give thanks to God for the good that He has worked in them, drawing them closer to Himself. They give thanks for the promises of His grace, which are always there for them. They give thanks even for God's righteous judgments, which are past finding out. They praise and glorify God even in the midst of that trial. That's giving thanks in everything. And so, no matter who we are, where we are, what we're going through, what happened today, what will happen tomorrow, no matter what, this command comes to us equally. In everything, give thanks. In what are you called to give thanks today? Is there an adversity in your life where you are struggling? Struggling to see the good. When we look with our eyes of the flesh, we often can't find it. But faith sees what these eyes can't. Faith pierces the darkness and looks to God, the Sovereign One, the Good One, and praises and thanks. Faith looks to Christ. There is the supreme wisdom and goodness of God on display. God sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins, to pay for our sins, to bring to us every blessing of salvation. The God who loves His people so much as to give His only begotten Son for them and for their eternal salvation. That God is a good God and is good in all of His works and in all of His ways, even the hard and painful ways that He sometimes leads us down. Faith finds the heart and the words to give thanks in everything. Thanks for the good that God is working. Thanks for the refinement of faith. Thanks for the sanctification of my life. Thanks for the growth in patience that God has worked in me through these adversities. Thanks for all the hidden blessings that emerge under God's hand during my afflictions. In absolutely everything, we are called and we are able to give God thanks. A couple of applications. How then, concretely, do we give thanks in everything, particularly in our adversities? Well, one very important thing is that we remove the sinful roadblocks that stand in the way of our giving thanks. We often put those roadblocks in front of ourselves. One of the biggest roadblocks that we can make for ourselves is deciding that our happiness is conditional. We like to make conditions for ourselves often, don't we? My happiness, my joy, depends on this or on that. I must have that. God must remove that from my life. When things go this way or that way, then I will be happy. Then I will be able to rejoice. Only then. But that's not God's word talking. That's not the new man talking. That's the old man. All we need for joy and happiness is Christ. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? Sometimes we don't. All we need for joy and happiness, true joy, is Christ. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Not that I get my way. Not that my plans for my life work out. Not that this affliction is taken away or this thing I want is obtained. My only comfort, my only joy in life and in death is that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no conditions. We like to make them. But joy and happiness are found in Christ. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that Christians are just going to go through this life beaming and always feel happy. Of course not. There are hard sufferings we go through. But that inner joy, that deep joy that sustains, that joy can't be taken away. That joy of belonging to Christ. And so, how do we give thanks in everything? Remove those sinful roadblocks, the conditions that we set up for ourselves and our happiness. Is there anything that we think we must have? Is there anything in our lives that we think must be gone before we can be glad, before we can be joyful, before we can be thankful? Remove that roadblock with the Word of God and rejoice in your Savior, who died for you to give you peace with God, everlasting righteousness, salvation. But now also, let's come back to those two parts of gratitude, pray and obey. How do we thank God in everything? By praying in everything and by obeying in everything. That's how we show our thanks. Part of giving thanks in everything is praying without ceasing. Notice the verse right before our text is just that. Pray without ceasing. That's intentional. And up above that is rejoice evermore. These are all connected. Pray without ceasing. Pray in the midst of every life situation, every life circumstance. Keep that line of covenant communication and communion open with God. It's a means that He uses to strengthen you. Prayer brings us close to the Lord. And when we are close to the Lord, then we are strong. An interesting verse in this connection is Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. There the apostle calls the Philippians, be careful for nothing. That is, worry, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, same language as our text, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul exhorts us, in everything, pray, make your requests known unto God, but with thanksgiving. And that's an important point. Supplication and thanksgiving are not opposites. They are not contrary to each other. The Christian wife who's leaving the doctor's office, she prays earnestly for the healing of her husband. Those parents pray earnestly for the restoration of their wayward child. They lay those supplications before the throne of grace with all their hearts, but with thanksgiving, still acknowledging the goodness of God, still praising Him for His greatness and His power and His sovereignty and the good that He is working mysteriously through their trial. Supplication with thanksgiving. It's so easy when we're in the midst of adversity to stop praying. Sometimes our human judgment is it's not doing anything. I'm not getting the results I want. Why bother? But that only harms us the more. Prayer. Walking closely to God by faith, talking to Him, laying before Him the cries of our hearts, the supplications of our hearts, as well as the thanksgiving of our hearts. That prayer is a means God uses to hold us up in the midst of that adversity. Even if it is not His will to remove it for a time, He holds us up, He sustains us, He keeps that adversity from consuming us, dominating our lives, controlling us. In everything, pray. In everything, give thanks. Corporate worship comes in here too. Participating wholeheartedly in corporate worship helps us give thanks in everything. When we're laid low, when adversity is hard, the flesh wants to stay away, doesn't it? Don't have the energy, don't feel the desire, and a whole host of other reasons. There's no better place to be than here in the assembly of God's people, participating in public worship. Think of Asaph in Psalm 73. He describes his struggle with envy, even bitterness against God because of his own afflictions and the seeming prosperity of the wicked. He almost slipped. But then what happened? Asaph went to church. Verse 17 of Psalm 73, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." By means of public worship, God gave him more clearly to see the end of the wicked, that their prosperity was an illusion, and that his own adversity, which he felt was destroying him, was actually being worked by his Almighty God and Father for his good, though in a most mysterious way. And Asaph was given by God's grace the ability to give thanks once again. When we're laid low, come to church, give thanks in the gathered congregation. Pray and obey. Obey. Obey in everything. In every life situation, in every circumstance, our calling remains the same. Show God your thankfulness for His salvation by obeying His word. It goes against the grain of our sinful nature. The wisdom of man says this, I'll obey when it's easy. I'll obey as long as it fits with my reasoning, with the way I think things should go. But when the going gets tough, when there are hardships, He should relax His commands a little bit. I shouldn't be expected to still obey Him in the midst of adversity. Well, the Word of God says, no, in everything give thanks. Show that thanks by adhering to the Word of God, even when it's hard. concrete example we've gone through in this year. All of the craziness surrounding COVID, all of the frustrating policies that have been put in place by the state, even in the churches, God's Word says, honor authority. Honor authority. That doesn't change, even when things are tough. We show our thankfulness to God by obeying His Word, even when it's tough. We give Him thanks by honoring the authorities He puts in place in church and state, not for their own sake, but for His sake. And you can make all kinds of other applications. When there's a temptation to compromise our stance on important doctrine or practice of the Christian life because there's a rub or a conflict in the family, God's Word remains the same. Obey me. Be faithful. This is how you show your gratitude to me for what I have done for you in Christ. In everything give thanks. In everything pray. In everything obey. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We human creatures always want to know why. God doesn't give us an elaborate list of reasons here. He gives us one. This is my will for you. My will. God's will is what He desires. God's will is what pleases Him. God's will for His people is that they give Him thanks in everything because thanksgiving is what glorifies God. God desires our thanksgiving. He is pleased by our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving glorifies His name. God has designed us for this purpose, that we glorify Him in this unique way by thanking Him for His goodness and all of His benefits to us. Man has been made. The church has been redeemed for the purpose of glorifying God with thanksgiving. This is God's will concerning His church. And the text is individual too. It's His will concerning you and His will concerning me. That's God's desire for you right now and for me right now in your present circumstances and in mine. Give thanks. Give thanks. This is God's unchangeable will. It's not optional. For the believer, this is enough. Because grace has so worked in the believer's heart that we say with the psalmist, I delight to do thy will. It is a joy to walk in the ways of thy commandments. It's enough, is it not? Because the thought of bringing glory to God's name is all the motivation we need as redeemed children of God. Those who have been saved by grace in Christ alone and who walk by faith, it is their most earnest desire to glorify God with thanksgiving. That's the chief end of man, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And we enjoy Him by glorifying Him. And so we receive this reason and we embrace this reason, and it is enough for us. This is the will of God concerning us, that in everything we give thanks to Him for His goodness. In Christ. You can't erase that from the text. This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. There's the possibility. There's the power. This is the reason we are able to give thanks to God and follow this command of the text in Christ. God's will is revealed in connection with Christ. This is His will for His church, which is purchased with the blood of Christ. This is His will for His children, whom He has adopted into the covenant family of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks in connection with Christ, in light of what Christ has done for us, and by the power of Christ. It all goes back to Him. It all goes back to His work that we saw pictured at the supper table this morning. Contemplate again what was pictured there, what He did, the love of God commended toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there is the inexhaustible storehouse of reasons to give thanks. There is the power and the possibility to give thanks even in the hardest of adversities. Christ died for me. Christ is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him, body and soul, and life and in death. And now, by the power of His Spirit, I am wholeheartedly willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him by thanking Him in everything, in prayer, and by obedience to His Word. Beloved, may this word encourage you this evening. Many are the afflictions and trials represented in this congregation. Many are the life circumstances represented here tonight. Receive the word of God for your encouragement. In everything, give thanks. Look to your Lord and Savior for the strength, the grace, all of the reasons to give thanks. When you look to Him, focus on Him, joy and gladness is the infallible fruit of faith. Faith that clings to Christ cannot help but be joyful and thankful. Cling to your Savior. Hold fast to Him. Walk with Him, and in everything, give thanks. Amen. Our blessed God and Heavenly Father, Thou hast given us a beautiful word in the Scriptures, calling us to thankfulness. A word that lifts our hearts, and a word that admonishes us, a word that points out our sins and faults, a word that encourages us also. Many are the trials and troubles through which Thou dost lead Thy people, and sometimes it is very hard for us to be thankful. Work by Thy Word and Spirit in our hearts, that this passage may find ready entrance and may take root in our hearts, so that no matter who we are and where we are and what we are going through, our hearts may indeed be swollen with that gratitude for what Thou hast done for us in Jesus Christ. Lift up the eyes of our faith that we may focus intently upon Him. And looking to Him, we shall never lose our way. Bless those families in our congregation who have severe hardships, who are struggling. Grant them to know Thy compassion and Thy mercies that fail not, so that even in the midst of those things they may say, "We give Thee thanks, Heavenly Father, for Thy goodness to us." Hear us in mercy for our Savior's sake. Amen.